Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ya ayyuhalladzina amanu kutiba 'alaikumus shiyam kama kutiba 'alal ladzina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Ayyaman ma'dudat. فمن كان منكم مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر وعلى الذين يطيقونه فدية طعام مسكين فمن تطوع خيرا فهو خير له وأن تصوموا خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. I helped the brother go in the back on the chair there. It's easier because it's going to numb somebody. Okay. You can, no, you can put it, no, no. Brother in the back, in the back. Brother, just put him in the back. There's a lot of chairs in the back. No, he's not a part of the faith, so normally he has to be in the back chair. He knows the rules. Is that he's blind, so that's why he's bumping around. Yes, no problem. Yes, he can be in the third last. It's not a problem at all. All guests and those that are not part of the faith, they always sit in the back. It's our rule that we have for everyone. Yes, that's fine. Right over there is fine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, but before we talk about the Quran, the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when you see a blind person, it is our duty to help them. So he was moving around. Now you may wonder, why did I do what I did? The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says it very beautifully, that if you see a person that is blind, getting hurt, about to hurt himself, or go into a place that is wrong in nature, then guide that person away from that, and that is part of the fiqh. In fact, it comes in from the scholars themselves. When you see a blind person being challenged and you don't help that person to get to the right spot, then that in itself is a sin. And there's a whole fiqh regarding this given aspect, regarding those that have weak eyesight, blind, etc. The ayah that we recited talks about an aspect that we are going to be very familiar with, especially in the next 30 days, and are very familiar with because we have already taken part in it. And it's the concept, is the idea, and the practice of fasting. Now the Quran clearly makes mention, fasting is something that is not new to anyone. Fasting is not new to anyone. Previous generations had it, and we also have it. Previous generations may have had it done it differently, but Muslims are called upon to do it all the way from before the crack of dawn, all the way to sunset. Now the main thing we are here to talk about is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. What is the idea of fasting? Why do you fast? What's the purpose of fasting? Is it just to stay away from food and stay away from certain actions? And we learn, absolutely not. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The idea of fasting is total, full consciousness. Consciousness towards what? Consciousness towards eating or lack of eating? Consciousness towards health or lack of health? Consciousness towards the poor? Consciousness towards charity? Consciousness towards what is the critical question? And لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ refers to being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every situation, in every presence. And this is something that is very hard for us to do. And this is something that has always been hard for people to do. People like to think that people back then did not have the struggle. If this is true, then we know the hadith of the leper, the hadith of the individual that was blind, the hadith of the individual that was bald. When the angel was sent to the leper, now what is a leper? They have an issue with their skin. So the angel came to the leper and said, You seem to be having a problem. What do you want? Now, anyone who has skin problems, it haunts them to the point where if the skin problem is not resolved, it's like as if the world has come to an end. And those of us that are old enough, we realize one thing. It doesn't matter if a person has skin problem. It doesn't matter if a person has hair problem. It doesn't matter if a person has issues of being blind or whatever. And because of the brother, when he came in that way, he brought in this story of this blind person as well. So that's why I'm sharing it with you. And it ties in, alhamdulillah, with the topic of creating consciousness. So the leper said, and this is what the leper said, you know, my skin is bad, people laugh at me, people mock me, people put me down. They don't give me this royal introduction. In fact, when I go for a job interview, they don't want to give me a job because I look not very, very good. Basically, that's what he was saying. So the angel said, okay, no problem. We can have that resolved for you. Skin problem, no more. What else do you want? I want a pregnant camel. I want an animal. And I want an animal to give birth. And when the animal gives birth, it'll be able to eat on the prime property that inshallah you'll also give me. It's amazing how we use the word inshallah at times. When it comes to wealth, we use the word inshallah. When it comes to religion, we say Allah is great, don't worry. I have a lot of time to put myself right. Let's not stress about it right now. This man was no different. Anyway, the angel made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asked Allah, give him these three things. He got the animal, he got prime land, and he got his issue resolved. Then he went to another man. And the second man he went to was the bald individual. Well, you know, he was not feeling very, very confident about himself. So he says, I want my hair restored. And with my hair, what else would you want with your hair? Well, he said thereafter, I would like, of course, property. And he would like animals as well. Okay, no problem. Different animal, could be cows, sheep, etc. He got it. Problem resolved. But you have your hair, you have your property, you have animals. What more can a man ask for? Third individual he goes to is a blind person. And the same thing takes place. You know, I have a tough time. I would like my eyesight. Got him his eyesight, got him his property, and got him his animals. Three of them are enjoying life. Wonderful life. People are giving them respect. People are giving them honor. People are giving them dignity. Now these are wealthy people. What the poet says, he says it very beautifully. A wealthy man, a dog knows when to smile to him. A poor person that is good, a dog even knows that because of his poverty, I must bark at this person. So even you'll notice, dogs know who they must give respect to and not. So obviously, as far as humans are concerned, naturally, we always think if that man is wealthy or that woman has something great, maybe by me being around them, I will get a little bit of that. And I've always said something very, very, sometimes it sounds overcritical, but know one thing, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, you'll get more from a poor person than a wealthy person. Write it down, quote me. Ratio for ratio, number for number, you'll get more from a poor person in your life. Whether it's respect, whether it's money, whether it's honor, whether it's dignity, than you will get from a wealthy individual. But this is not how the brain thinks. The brain thinks, if that person has it, then he will give it. No, they're not going to give it. Because if you never had and you have, you're going to grab and hold on to it like there is no tomorrow. How do we know this? Let's go back now to the hadith. So the angel comes to the leper and says to the leper, you know, you used to, he didn't tell him he had leprosy. He just went to him and said, I'm a poor person. Allah sent the angel. And the angel comes and says, I'm a poor person. I'm traveling. I'm walking this place. I need some assistance. Can you help me out? So the leper says, go from here. You know my background. This is what he says. You know my background. This wealth is not new to me. This wealth is coming from generations down. Generations and generations. That's where I've accomplished it from. I'm something. I worked hard. Go from here. Okay. And before he leaves, the angel says, Did you forget that there was a time in which you suffered? You were a nothing. Allah in the Quran says, فَإِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُرًا, that there was a time in which you were a nothing. You were just a piece of liquid. Liquids that were put together. Thereafter, I made you a human being. Someone that could reason. Someone that could think. Someone that could function. Someone that could be a contribution to human life and human dignity. Allah says, I gave you this opportunity, imma shakira wa imma kafura, to see whether you'll be grateful or an arrogant, condescending individual. Allah in the Quran himself says it. Angel says, fine. Goes to the next individual, and the next person was a person that was having, as I said, hair loss issues, and he gave that person a lot, and this person too, gave the first person's answer. You know where I've come from, you know who I am, and you just want my things like that, go from here. He goes to the third person, the blind person, and he says, I'm traveling, and I would like some benefit from you. I need some assistance. And the blind person says, my brother, I had nothing in the past. I came with nothing, I had nothing. And Allah blessed me, God blessed me with all these wonderful things. You want to take whatever you want to take, enjoy it, it's all yours. I have no issue with you at all. And this is what we are learning from this given hadith, that as far as humans are concerned, you can give, you can give, you can give. There is a 66% chance you will never get from them. It's that one individual, that 33% out of the three, basically. We'll make it a higher number, 34%. Let's round it off. So we have more optimism in this conversation. And this is how human nature is. In fact, there is a story of Isa alayhi salam. We have young students here. Isa is known as Jesus, peace be upon him. Very important story. They call it story night, we call it story Jummah today. Anyway, there is this individual that is with Isa alayhi salam, and Isa alayhi salam tells him, I need some paratha, or I need some roti, I need some pita bread. Okay, I need some bread, let's put it that way. So anyway, he says, no problem, you want bread, I'll get it. Isa alayhi salam says, bring three bread for me. So this man went, he got three bread. He's using his own logic and he's thinking, why do I need to take three bread when there's two of us? It's me and Isa alayhi salam, I don't need three. He ate up one, he ate it up. When he comes to Isa alayhi salam tells him, so where's the third bread? Wallah ta'ala billah, no third bread, only two, me and you. Isa alayhi salam is saying, please, where's the third one? He refused, he took oaths upon oaths, no third bread. Okay, no problem. Isa alayhi salam said, let's go, let's walk. And they're walking, and they're going to a place. As they're walking, there is a man selling an animal, selling a goat. Isa alayhi salam gives money, he says, can I buy your goat? He bought the goat. After he bought the goat, Allah made a miracle take place. The goat sort of slaughtered itself. It got cooked. Everything happened. And this was like a perfect goat to eat. This is how... I think the mic here. So anyway, after this miracle took place, Isa alayhi salam is looking at this individual and saying, where is the third bread? Where is the third bread, young man? He took an oath. Wallah talla billah, no, there is no third bread. There is just two bread over there. Okay, no problem, two bread. Isa alayhi salam, to a guest, Jesus peace be upon him, is walking again. And as he's walking, they come to a river. Now how are you going to cross the river? And he makes a dua, he makes a prayer, and Allah opens the river. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the river, they walk to the other side. This man is astonished. He's astonished that this is the miracle of Isa alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam is focusing on something greater. And he asks him, where is the pita bread? The third one, we need it. I just want you to be honest about it. And the man says, there is no bread. There is no bread. Okay, no problem. My brothers, before we continue any further, understand one thing. Bread comes, bread goes. Goat comes, goat goes. Water opens, water closes. Everything happens. But there's a very important thing here. Before we continue further, when we leave this world, all the gold, all the goats, everything gets left behind. I went to many, many homes, and the husband is gone, or the wife is gone, and the other partner that's living will say, that car belonged to so-and-so. Do you know anyone that can use that car from now on? Those clothing belong to so-and-so. Can you have someone come and take it? This belong, everything is gone. I mean, everything remains, and the man is gone. Anyway, Isa alayhi salam is still walking with this man. He's tolerating a lot. And he comes to this place, and Isa alayhi salam turns out, and he makes a miracle, where there is three little mounds that he makes, three little mounds of gold. So he makes this one mound of gold, second mound of gold, third mound of gold. So this man is asking, why are you making the third mound of gold? Isa alayhi salam says, this third mound of gold is going to be for you. But you have to tell me what happened to the bread. And the man said, oh, the bread, I ate it up. The bread, I ate it up. Why? He wants the third mound of gold. Isa alayhi salam says, like how Khidr alayhi salam said to Musa alayhi salam, قَالَ هَذَا فِرَاقُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِي. Now you go your way, I go my way. You enjoy your mountain of gold, whatever it is, you enjoy it. And Isa alayhi salam left. Now he's looking after these three little mounds of gold. They were quite a lot, you know, that much. Even if the mound was that big, that's substantial, I would say. Two people come by and they look at this man. He's looking after this gold because it's important to him. And these two guys decide, you know what? This is one guy, we are two. Let's kill him and we can enjoy it. And that's exactly what they did. They killed this fellow. After they killed him, now they are amongst themselves, they are discussing. Okay, now we have this thing, it's secure. We both are hungry. One tells the other one, why don't you go and get the food? So this guy said, okay, I'll bring the food and you look after this place. So he starts looking after the place, looking after it. The guy who's bringing the food, shaitan is playing with him too. And he poisons the food. The guy who's waiting, what does he do? He sharpens the knife. The guy brings the food, this guy takes the knife, he stabs him, kills him. The guy who brought the food, he poisoned the food. So when this guy had the food, he died. Now, there is gold and there is nobody else there to enjoy it. And this is the moral of the story from Isa alayhi salam. We are learning that the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says something very beautiful. You give a human one value of gold, he wants two. You give him two values of gold, he wants three. And the only thing that will fill his mouth is thereafter sand. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, this is a very important lesson that we are taking with us. And the lesson is, yes, we are to live in this world. We are to enjoy to a certain extent. But at the end of the day, we are going to go on. You go to the graveyards around, whether it's Utah or wherever. So-and-so died, 1947. So-and-so died, 1957. So-and-so died, 1963. So-and-so just carries on and on. No individual is forever. And every man and every woman that has left, they left something behind, something of value that they could not control once they were gone. So from these stories, we learn a very important thing. We have to get our system in place, and the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to accomplish this is now as we are getting closer to the month of Ramadan, focus on this phrase, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That what were we created for? We are created for a consciousness. We were created for a level of connection between ourselves and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once we lose that connection, you end up losing the world as well as the hereafter. And if we remain connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we may get the world, we may not get the world. But undoubtedly, As far as the Akhirah is concerned, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have a good place in store for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and guide us at all times. Wa akhada wa na alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.